Welcome to Pantano Christian Church. This is the weekend of December 16th and 17th, 2006. Join us now as Pastor Dave White presents the teaching entitled Presence versus Presence. And now, here's Pastor Dave.
Happy Christmas, you guys. Well, what we're going to talk about, despite the fact that your bulletin is blank in the message space, that's so you can write down whatever you find most impactful this morning, okay? We're going to be talking about this idea of Christmas is really not about presents in terms of gifts. It's about presence. Presence. You know, it's just a whole lot different when somebody comes down and sits with you and talks with you and just finds out how you feel and how life is and what you're thinking and who you really are. And you get to find the same out about them. I mean, it's like God came down at Christmas and sat around our kitchen table. He came to be with us. You know, the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, we've probably all read it and heard it over the years. But can we just ask the Lord, Father, if you would just give us a freshness of this year, as we remember what Christmas is really all about and put out of focus the things that are distracting us from your presence. Read with me this story in Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. That freaked Joseph out. That's in the Greek. It's not a part of the English translation. But because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. That's the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means, say it with me, "God with us." Now, I want you to just say that again, real thoughtfully. God with us. You see, that's what this is all about. It's about God being with us. That was his gift. You know, when I think of what God really values, you know, I think that it has a lot to do with what we really value. Let me ask you, growing up, or even today, what do you value most about another person that you really care for? Is it getting a gift from them, or is it being with them, experiencing their presence and being together? Which is it, gifts or presence? See, that was my vote, presence. And you know, I just spent a little time thinking this through I read over some of the studies that I had seen in the past about the difference that it makes when a healthy parent spends time with their kids. And studies show that parental absence, it puts a lot of emotional stress on kids. Kids without parental presence tend to develop more unhealthy relationships, and their self-respect is lower. Young women oftentimes fall into sexual promiscuity because they're trying to fill that empty void of the presence of a father. Of course, doing it quite unsuccessfully. But parental presence is incredible. It has such incredible power. It lowers stress levels. As a matter of fact, they did an extremely simple study. When a child receives immunization shots, that when they measure the stress level, their stress level is immensely lower when a parent is just in the room or by their side. Isn't that incredible what effect presence has? Kids have higher achievement, healthier relationships, higher self-respect, and a more positive attitude when they have the presence of a healthy parent. It's very cool. Well, does God know this? Of course. And you know, sometimes we just tend to think of God as out there instead of right here. And that was the whole point of Christmas. Emmanuel. God with us. The Apostle John, he was just one of the disciples that hung out with Jesus and along with the others. And, you know, he wrote about this experience that they all shared with Christ in his first letter, 1 John chapter 1. Look what he said here. Try to imagine yourself listening to him as a person saying this. From the very first day, we were there, taking it all in. We heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God Himself took shape before us. I don't know, that just gives me goosebumps. To imagine the privilege, the immensity of this thought that John was communicating, that God Himself took shape in our very presence. We got to see Him, touch Him, hear Him, verify it with our own hands. And what Jesus did is, you know, He came and He said, I came to show you what God is like, who He is. The Scripture talks time and time again about how Jesus is the image of God. And Jesus stood before His disciples, Philip, in John chapter 14, said, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus went, oy vey, Philip, dude, have I been so long with you and you don't realize that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? And that's where he said in verse 6, Philip, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God except by me, except by the way that I am showing you. Well, what way is that? Jesus showed us what it means to love God. To love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you don't have to be a religious kook to do that, okay? You don't have to be engaged in all the religious activity and do it precisely. That wasn't what it was about. He showed us what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. I talked about that again and again and again. That God is a friend of sinners. That God doesn't wake up mad at everybody every day. Or mad at the people that aren't religious. As a matter of fact, He's a friend of sinners. Jesus was a servant. And he demonstrated servant leadership in a way that was mind-blowing, especially to people who were, used to people that were domineering in their leadership style and very controlling. Showed us what healthy relationships were like. He sacrificed for the benefit of others. He showed us the way of God. He showed us His way. He cleared it up all up. There aren't any questions. How Jesus lived is the way of God. Now, folks, this is not easy. This level of presence is not easy. How many of you have ever gone somewhere and seen how some people live and say, you know, I really don't want to live like that. We had 400 people go to Rocky Point to build houses in the barrios. But you know what? None of us stayed in the barrio. We didn't stay there. As a matter of fact, none of us wanted to stay there, did we? You see, because that level of presence is very hard. But that's exactly what Jesus did. And the contrast between privilege and poverty was far more extreme. Jesus let go of His perfect existence. As a matter of fact, Paul says in Philippians that he didn't count His godness something to be grasped or held on to or coveted. He let it go. And humbled Himself to be made in the form of a man. It takes a lot of humility. Now, he came and was not demanding of everyone's recognition. As a matter of fact, He was born in obscurity in a dirty stable. And you know what? He was just like all of us. Now, He pooped His diapers. The translation for that is swaddling clothes, but that's what it is. And they had to be changed. That's humiliating. He had to go to middle school. Had to learn from other people, just like you and I. Whew. Lived in poor neighborhoods. Didn't demand a place of privilege. He ate meals with sinners on the other side of the tracks. He got His hands and feet dirty, constantly taking the place of a servant. And He died and bled at the hands of humans. And it was a pretty humiliating death of a criminal. That's who Jesus was. He came to be with us. I mean, really with us. Coming down from His high place and stepping down to sit at our table and eat our food and drink our water and put up with it all. That's what He did. Okongo, are you here, buddy? Where are you? Are you here? There you are. Come on up here, man. Do you guys remember that Rocky Point weekend, Okongo was in... Grab the microphone and come right up here. Okongo was in Rocky Point, and we prayed for him that weekend here and there because in a few days he was headed to Ghana, West Africa. Now, you can see Ghana here. It is... it's a pretty small country, but we partner with Senyo Kujo, who works mostly in the south of Ghana. But a year ago, we committed ourselves to try to reach a group of people there who were completely unreached. They're called the Hausa people. The center of the area where they live is a city called Tamale. And these people number about 1 million people, maybe a little bit more, that live in this particular area of Ghana. And they're about 99.99% Muslim. They are not recognized by the government very well. They're sort of relegated to obscurity. They don't have much political influence. They're just marginalized as a people. Well, we sent Samson. He and his family are planning to actually move there sometime probably this year. But we sent him on a survey trip to start scouting out the area. And that's what we were praying for, that God would lead him to the right people, into the right places, that he wouldn't waste his time with the wrong people. And this was a story of presence, because, you know, a lot of people go to places like that and they keep the people at arm's length. They don't really get down and go into people's houses and eat their food and drink their water and things like that. But that's exactly what Okongo did. And so this is a story of presence and what God did because of the passion of his heart to bless all people. And because God put it in Samson's heart to go down and be with these people. So, let's... Dude, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi, everybody.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I appreciate this guy so much, you just cannot believe it. He is such an incredible brother in the Lord. Dude, tell us a little bit about how your trip started and how you met this man on the screen.
Before that, I want to pray, because I would like to do anything I want to do. I want to start with prayer.
Please do.
Because God is great. Allahu Akbar.
That's Arabic for God is great.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Algaru, you need to come on. Shukran, ya Mungu.
All right.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Right on, brother. Woo. God is great.
Thank you for your prayers and your encouragement and your support. And God is really great, just like I was praying. And I took my trip to northern Ghana. And it was a journey. I met a number of people. Then finally I found the Hausa people, and right there on the picture, that's the son of the Hausa chief, who I finally met.
And what did he do for you when you met him?
You mean the chief of the...
No, this man right here. This,
okay,
he is the son, the stepson.
He showed me the procedure of meeting a chief. Chiefs have lots of power, and they receive the glory like no any other person on earth. But... he gave me the procedure of meeting the chief. Finally, he arranged for me to meet with the chief of Hausa. And the chief of Hausa welcomed me and gave me the blessing to be in their midst, in their presence. And the chief of Hausa plus that son, they ended up recruiting those number of people who are the crew who are going with me in every village, every area I was going, taking pictures, video, and I trained them on how to do that. And they,
excuse me.
Okay.
You mean you went to meet the chief, and he recruited people to help you share Jesus with people, or did you keep this a secret that you were a Christian?
Yes, sir. He helped me recruit them. The first thing I did when I met all these Muslim people, I told them I am a believer of Jesus Christ and I am a preacher. So I didn't hide that, because God told me not to hide. And...
Now, did they respect you because of that?
Very much, because they are aware of missionary scheme. You know, most of the missionary, like we know all the time, they go either to Kosovo or wherever, Iraq, and they want to start building school or doing things like that, and don't share about their faith. Then later on is when they start sharing the faith, but that's not my call, you know. And I've gone to 32 countries. Whenever I land to a place, I always tell them that, because that's what God has told me. They really appreciated that, and they told me, you are different with all the Christian we know. Them, they come here, we don't trust them because they don't share who they are. They hide and later on they do some other few things. But that was an opening for them to accept me, because I was just honest, true to myself, and it was God who told me to do that. So
God gave you an audience with the chief of the House of People.
Yes, sir.
Recruited you a team to go with you, escort you around the country. And
everywhere I was going, and to show me people, to take me where I can speak, organize people who I can speak to. And right there, the guy with that white beard, that's the chief of Hausa, the king chief of the Hausa. And the other one was his assistant chief. And
You sitting next to him in the white chair?
I'm sitting right next to him. The moment I met him, I said, are you serious and are you sure you're allowing me to walk all over this place and even share the faith and preach Jesus? Then he said, yes. Then I told him, I want all this be put down. You sign, I sign. If you kill me, then you broke the agreement. Right there, they are signing the thing. Right there, they are signing the paper and I signed. So if something happened, this will be a record, and I'm going to fax this somewhere. And that right there, that's also another chief. There are plenty of chiefs. That's Chief of Dagombe, who is also one of the very influential chiefs over there. And now, when I met the chiefs, I asked them, I want to find the man of peace, someone who really would share with me the faith of the people, how people are, and also I can share with him my vision and how God loved the people. My God, that God I serve is a God full of humor. The chief sat down and they brought the sheikh, who probably would be called the imam. This guy here is a very prominent man known all over the world. He's speaking on even telecasts in Arabic, preaching Islamic. He's at one time, like any other time, prayer time, he's leading 3,000 people in a mosque, which probably you'll see down there, worshipping at the same time. So they gathered together and they gave me this man to be the man of peace who would help me go around doing my business of preaching the gospel. How is that?
Now, is this the guy that gave you his Land Cruiser?
And as a matter of fact, I know, let me start by this way. If we bring some imam from Saudi Arabia or Iraq coming here, want to preach Islam, who among us you would give him a Land Cruiser that, take that Land Cruiser, go preach what you have preached? Who? Lift your hand. I'm sure you'll call 911 or Homeland Security. But unto these people, he didn't do that. He said, oh, Reverend, welcome to our midst. And he said, hey, I'll take you to the mosque and we'll convert you to Christian and all this. But then he gave me the Land Cruiser to take me all the places I was going and speaking boldly. Something you will not do when they come here. Glory to God. And remember, they gave me food. I didn't buy. And for them to give you food, it's like an acceptance. And I want to ask you another question again. Who among it's you, Osama bin Laden, would come here, that great imam of Muslim, and you come and have him host him in your house? Who would ever do that? Probably you'll call 911 or Homeland Security. But here they are giving me food, and they know that I am an infidel. Probably unto them we'll call them a terrorist. So God is a God of humor. Amen?
Yeah. Now you're there eating their food, drinking their water, and just being with them here.
Yeah,
yes.
And one of the precious meals they gave me was the skin. The skin is a very precious meal. I've never eaten that before. And I ate that, and they say, oh, you are our person. You've eaten skin? You are some of the things I didn't know, but it was just, it's God.
Wow. I'm afraid to ask what that is.
Oh, yeah, don't ask.
Okay.
So there we were sharing 5 days, 4 hours every day. I spent time with imams who they handed me, because, you know, Islam is a, is a, It's a very structured religion. And Hausa and Dagombe and all those other tribes, they believe that Islam is their culture. And Islam is all that they know. And that's true. So I was talking to them because you can't reach people without going to their stronghold, without going to their house. I spend lots of hours every day, 4 hours, talking to them. And that's one of the key imams too. And
These are imams.
They are heading big mosque. At one time, all 3,000
Those are like
people.
The pastors in the mosque. Is that correct?
Big pastors. Yes. Probably the bishops of the Islam, if bishops exist over there.
Wow.
But they have big ones. So there we were chatting, and I remember that picture was taken when I was saying, "Hey, Imam, I want to plant the church inside your heart." And he was telling me, "I want to plant mosque inside your heart." And then we started laughing, and my crew just took the picture. I thought that was funny. Man, that's you can't great. Do that to Muslims. You can't do that. Otherwise, they'll persecute you. Do you know that? You have to be very wise. But I think sometimes God is a God of humor. Oh. He led us not to be being wise. That also is one of the imams. Probably you've been watching TV and seeing people who are being kidnapped. But when you see the people who kidnap them, probably they dress like that. Seeing someone like that, you see them, people who kidnap you. So God led me to this man. And he's a very influential man, dressed like that. And I was surprised I could not see. Well, there some pictures are very sensitive, but there he was, and I shared my faith with him. I shared the love of Jesus with him. And right there, the crew took the picture when I was praying for him. You can't do that to them.
Wow.
But it's just God. But you can do that when God is with you and you go into their presence.
Whoa.
And right there, that's the mosque where I was invited to go. And I want to tell you one thing. All that I'm talking about are not just things I'm here to give. They are also recorded in a video. They are live things. You'd want to watch them. They are all recorded. And even me speaking in that mosque, all recorded and asking questions, taking the risk which need to be in their presence.
We're going to set aside some time in the next month for, so you just have to keep your ears open where you'll be able to come and hear the longer story, the longer version of what actually happened here.
So that's the mosque where I was, and that's the fourth largest mosque in Tamale. They get lots of funds from Saudi Arabia, Iran, and other Asian country to really reach out and Islamize Ghana.
And they invited you to come to the mosque with
them.
They
invited me to come to the mosque. And I went to the, as an infidel, went to the place where, that's how I was dressed when I was going to speak. Woo! An imam!
So they actually allowed you to come to the mosque
they allowed
and speak.
Me to, they allowed me to come to the mosque. Like I told you, it's a very structured religion. You know, if you are a new believer, you cannot go in front. You probably stay behind. So they allowed me to go in, and I went right in front with the imam. And there was, they were praying, and to me also, I was going down like wakbar, like I was doing here. So, and some people ask me, you can't do that, man. I have to do that for me to do something.
God is great, is he not?
Allah wakbar.
Yes, God is great.
Allah wakbar. So they invited me to the mosque. And I made a request. I told him, Imam, would you allow me also to speak to the people? Would you allow me also to speak to the people?
And he said,
Reverend, yes.
Wow.
I can tell you that what I was feeling by that time, I felt like I was bold. The airs were not in my head. I tried pulling them. Oh, they are still there. But then, all that I know, I don't know Islam. Well, I pretended yes, but I don't know about anything other than speaking Jesus. And already I know what offends them. And I can tell you that some of these, all these imam, they know the New Testament, they know the gospel more than even people here. They know it. No, they know it's here. They were even preaching to me. They were telling me the birth of Jesus was divine. He did miracles, and they would count miracles and say, "Oh, I stop." He was going to even announce or tell me the miracle, which even I didn't know, because most of the miracles were not even recorded. So then, they know all the stories about the Bible. And what I shared was about Jesus in Messiah. And whenever I was speaking, they would say, "Oh, la la, wakbar." I say, "This man was a great man. He came in a form of man so that we would see God in reality." They would say, "Allah, wakbar." I don't know whether they knew what I was saying or not, but I know the Spirit was doing something.
Right on, man.
Because that's not my job to know whether they are converted or they believe or not. Mine is to be an instrument in their presence. Right there is an old man in the mosque who stood really in a humble way. Probably when you see African really stand like this, or probably other places, that they are really, not that they are sad, but they are really, really, "Oh, we see what you are doing." So what he was doing, he was appreciating and saying that God surely has brought you in our presence. And we can see more things happening. I don't know what they meant by all that, but I believe it is God moving.
Obviously, but, God was moving.
And some of the things he was speaking in the language, but my interpreters were interpreting for me, and I have no idea, but I know it was good. And everyone were clapping and they're saying, "You are welcome here. Maybe welcome to be persecuted. I don't know. Welcome to, I don't care, but what I know. Welcome to eat food. I don't know. Welcome to be converted. We are yet to find out that. But God is great. Allahu Akbar."
Okay, now I want to ask two things last year. You're going back in January. Why are you going back in January?
Now, after spending 3 weeks with this Hausa and Dagombe people and the chiefs, you know very well that they never invited me to go. They didn't know me, just like we didn't know Christ before he came. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. I was going to search and find them. So I invited myself. Mm-hmm. And now after going there, they've known me. They've heard me. They know my mission, my faith, and everything I'm doing. They decided to invite me officially. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe someone knows. God knows. But they officially invited me to go and be with them the last week of January, which I thought was too short, and I had other things going on, priorities. But then one of the imam told me that you want to do something and God is calling you. If you are rambling with that, having doubt about that, probably you are not listening to to the voice God is saying to you. And that really humbled me a great deal.
Wow.
Because I was thinking, how will I get the ticket money? How will I do gate? How will I leave my family? Or whatever. I was rambling. And that imam told me, "Brother," because I was telling him that, "Go talk to them so that they would push it maybe after May or something like that. I'm going to have a baby during that time. I need to be at home and see how the baby is protruding. My wife, you know, whatever we can talk about." But then I was let them push it ahead. Then he said, "Are you listening to God or you are listening to the circumstance and the situation?" That humbled me a great deal. And that can tell you how much I came to America and America is trying to spoil me not to listen to God's voice.
Yeah.
Allah Akbar. So they decided to invite me officially.
Now this meeting is a meeting of all of the Hausa chiefs. Is that correct?
All of the Hausa chiefs, Dagombe chief, and all the northern tribe chiefs like Mampursi, Dagombe. And it's going to be a big festival.
So
they've invited me to be their guest.
It's incredible.
So I don't know what I'm going to do.
That is a truly, you have a mission from God. Now, now, when Okongo went, we did not know, nor did these people know of one church amongst the Hausa people, or even one Hausa follower of Christ. Now, that was true when you got there. You verified that. How many were there when you left?
When I went there, I was asking the imams at the mosque chief openly, open question, that is there any Christian amongst you? They told me, "No, we've never. Will there be a Muslim, a Christian to begin with? There has never been something like that. And if someone become a Christian, he's disowning his own culture. Because Islam is our culture. How can we go adapt another culture?" So there was none. There was none. After walking and verifying all that. But when I left, Some of them would come even at midnight, at one, which probably would be inappropriate here when someone come knock at your door or the hotel room that want to talk to you.
That's how Nicodemus came to Jesus.
Yeah. So here it would be inappropriate in America that someone coming knocking want to talk to you. But there they came. And they said, you know, I walked with you the whole day, but I could not sleep. Something is lifting me up and putting me down, lifting me up and putting me down, lifting me up and putting me down. Then I said, what is that? Was it a person? No. It's just a kind of a spirit. I said, that's Jesus. Then he started weeping. Converted. Go home, sleep safe. At the end of my trip, 6 houses got converted. From 0 to 6. And others were Dagombe, because right now I'm talking about houses. Others too who got kind of converted were also Dagombe, who were Muslim. And some of them were asking me, don't even tell the chief that we came here at night. I say, no, with me I only tell my father, Baba in heaven. He knows you, that's the one who was pulling you down. Mm-hmm. And if you try to go back, he will pull you down, knock you down, you'll die forever. So just keep walking with him. Oh, yes, sir.
Right.
The gospel keep going.
Wow. Hey, let's just say, thank God for the incredible favor that he gave to our brother when he was there. Father, I want to say thank you for paving the way. Lord, we don't want to conquer the house of people. We simply want them to experience the blessing of what it means to know you, to walk in your ways of peace and freedom. Lord, thank you for the favor, incredible favor. And I ask, Lord, that your hand would be upon them, his crew, who have confessed faith in Christ, the imams, the chiefs, Okongo and his family. Lord, we put this in your hands for the purpose that you have to love these people to Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, and continue to pray for us, me and my family and everyone, and may God richly bless you. But God has some incredible things in store for the family, our brothers who are not born again. Keep them in your prayer, and I know God is going to call some of us here to also go be spent and be used.
Amen,
to be
brother.
In their presence, because that's what God wants. God bless.
Thank you, my brother.
Bar. Allah. Bar.
Don't you love that? Wow. What a great, great story. You know, I just love being in a church where the stories of God working amongst people can be the sermon from week to week. Love that. Our Christmas Eve offering this year is going to be to help send Okongo and his family to these people. So just be praying about that. Oh, well, we have a lot to think about, people. I mean, this helps us understand presence in a more tangible way. This idea that Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus came down from his place of privilege and got his hands dirty to show us, to walk us through the way of God. God's very presence, his presence is what Christmas is all about. And we just want to embrace that. We want to reconnect with all that God has for us. And the reason we can do that is because he's still present. He's still present today. The words that he spoke to his disciples just before he left this earth and headed for heaven was this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, the Spirit was Jesus' promise that he would continue to be with us. As he said in the very last phrase of the book of Matthew, and lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. My presence is there. He is still present. And that, you see, that presence and that purpose of Christmas brings us to just think about this as a challenge for this season. And that is to make Christmas more about God's presence than giving presents. And I don't know how you creatively do that, but maybe one way is just not to buy so many presents, to just simplify the gift buying and giving and emphasize the presence of God and take time to slow the season down so that you can connect with God, be aware of His presence. As we experience His presence, let's make our prayers more about knowing Him, being friends with Him, enjoying Him, loving Him, than asking Him for stuff. A great book that I think is very helpful in this area is called The Papa Prayer. A great book, just incredible in terms of helping us connect with God more relationally. And also to focus more on your personal presence with your family instead of substituting gifts for you. Be there with the people that you care about. Be there. Prioritize to put aside some things that might be good and be there. And as a matter of fact, folks, that's why we have really toned down the whole idea of doing these big Christmas productions here at Pantano every year. One, people out there are so busy that we can't ever get them to come and be with us. And we rob people's time away from their family to such a degree that Christmas is just almost a bummer. Just for this, you know, the celebration, the party that we might have. And we walk away completely burned out and missing the presence, the very presence of each other in our families, our presence with each other as the Pantano family, and our presence with God. So that's why we do this way. One thing you might do is, you know, when you open gifts, before you can open the gift, talk about the person that gave it to you. Talk about what you appreciate about them and why they're important and a valuable person to you. And lastly, just to think about being Jesus to those around you. I mean, we are to incarnate Christ. We are to be the hands and feet of Jesus to all those that are in our sphere of influence, our ability to touch them. And we simply need to be Jesus to them. Just as Okongo, what an incredible example of being Jesus to the people that he went to be with. We are with people. Let's be Jesus to them. As we come to communion, I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare for that. We'll serve communion at the end of the song. I think communion is... I love that we celebrate communion at Pantano every week. I came from a church background where we did not do that. It was sometimes once a month, once a year, sometimes. Sometimes it was just whenever. But you know, this is extremely meaningful to me because it helps me realize that, you know, that we're actually eating this stuff. We're drinking the wine representing His blood, eating the bread that represents His body that was broken. It is a very present symbol, celebration of His presence. You guys are going to sing to us, aren't you? I love that. You know, as they do this, I just want you to meditate and connect with God's incredible presence. Lord, this Christmas, we just want to experience you, the reason for this season.
Thank you for listening. You can join us every weekend at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday evenings, as well as 9 and 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. For more information, call us at Pantano Christian Church, 520-298-5395, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. Thank you again for listening, and be blessed.